This morning, I'm going to be talking about John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. So I'll just read that. It says, "On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, 'Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart.'" And as I have read this and prayed about this scripture, some things have come to mind that I wanted to share with you. And first of all is Jesus starts off by saying, anyone. Anyone. So underline that if you write in your Bible, anyone. Do you hear what he's saying? Anyone can come. It's not just the good people. It's not just the smart people. It's not just the gifted people. It's not just the extroverts or the introverts. It's not just the ones who think they have something to offer. Jesus said, anyone, and that includes me and it includes you. And I say this, and I want you to get this, because I meet a lot of people who seem to think that they are victims of their circumstances or of other people's decisions. And I was thinking about that. You know, that may be true for a lot of things. For years, I had a child, a compassion child in India. For probably 14 years, I supported him. And then after he turned 18, they go out of the program, and if you know anything about compassion, you lose the ability to connect with them. Well, he found me on Facebook and started communicating with me, and he had a dream of coming to America, and so I was talking to him about that, and he said, well, I could never do that. And I said, why not? You know, being an American, being an ignorant American of the rest of the world. He's like, because I'm dark. And I said, well, what does that have to do with anything? And he said, well, in my country, I'm in the lower caste, and so I can't ever get out of where I am. So, yes, I understand that we all have circumstances and situations in our lives that we are victims of. But what I'm talking about is I meet a lot of people that think they can't be all that Jesus wants them to be and have a relationship with Jesus. They might look at somebody else's relationship and say, well, I could never be like you. And Jesus says, anyone can come to me and drink. Anyone. And so I want you to get that. There's no body, there's no circumstance, there's no thing that can stop you. You are the only one that can stop you from coming to Jesus. So don't ever look at somebody in the church. I was thinking about it. You know, some people may look at me or Paul or somebody that's standing up here and preaching or teaching or singing or whatever and saying, well, they have something, you know, they're better at this Christian thing than I am. They're better at following Jesus than I am. As I tell my grandson sometimes, that's hogwash, you know? Because we're not better at anything than anybody else. It's just that when Jesus gave the call, anyone who is thirsty can come to me and drink, maybe we were just thirsty and we came to him and drank. And you know, I don't know. I don't know where you are. I don't know what God wants to say to you this morning, but there's somebody here this morning, I feel like, that needs to hear that anyone can come to Jesus. You are not excluded. So don't think that there's anything in you that would keep you from having that real vital relationship with Jesus. And he continues that statement by saying, anyone who is thirsty. So the question this morning is not, are you qualified, but are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Anyone who is thirsty can come to Jesus. If you're not thirsty, Jesus can't help you. Because you won't come to Jesus if you're not thirsty. And so what does it mean to be thirsty? Well, I did what we all do now. I went to AI and said, what does it mean to be thirsty? Y'all are just looking at me like y'all don't do that. Does nobody? Okay. He said, thirsty primarily means feeling a physical need to drink due to dehydration. In figurative and slang context, it describes an excessive eagerness or craving for something, such as attention, approval, or romance. Here, I think Jesus is obviously referring to a thirst for real life. He's talking about a thirst for purpose, for fulfillment, for eternal life, and specifically for the Holy Spirit, for the power of God in our lives. Because who of us can live this life without the power of the Holy Spirit? I know I can't. I know I try sometimes, and I fail miserably. So Jesus is saying, if you are thirsty for that power to live this life and to really live this life, then anyone who is thirsty for that can come to me. Anyone who is thirsty, are you thirsty? What if the answer is no? You know, somebody here may say, well, honestly, I used to be thirsty, but now I'm just tired. Now, if I'm honest about it, I'm just apathetic. It's too hard. I'm complacent. Nothing moves me anymore. So how do you get thirsty, if that's you? How do you get thirsty? Well, one way is salt. You go eat a bunch of salt. But in this context, what does that mean? If salt makes people thirsty, what kind of salt do you need to be thirsty for Jesus, for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, Jesus said that his people, his followers, are the salt of the earth. And so one thing I'm thinking is, well, you need to be around salty people. Right? I mean, that ought to make us thirsty. If you're around somebody that really loves Jesus, that really knows Jesus, that is on fire for Jesus, doesn't that make you thirsty? Doesn't that make you say, I want to have what they have? I want what they've got. I want the relationship with Jesus that they have. That's what makes us thirsty. And as I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago, Steve and I were going up to the mountains, and it's about a 2.5-hour drive. And so I thought, you know what? Being around people that are salty, that love Jesus, that I look at them and I think, oh, my goodness, I want that hunger and that thirst that you have. And so I made me a playlist on my music app of songs from my past, Christian songs that moved me. You know what I'm talking about? There are songs. I've been listening to Christian music since 1984. Some of you have heard this story, probably all of you. I don't know. But back in 1984, I listened to a lot of different music. I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, where the best music was. You know, everybody's like, yeah. And so I have this problem that I'm a lyrics person. And so I knew all the lyrics to all the songs, and lyrics mean a lot to me. I don't care that much about the music, but what does the song say? And so I would get all of these songs in my head and listening to these songs, and I had just become a Christian. And so I'm listening to the radio, and that song by Blood, Sweat, and Tears came on, and it's like, I pray there ain't no heaven. I swear there ain't no heaven. I pray there ain't no hell. Won't know by living, only my dying will tell. And I was just singing to that song in the radio, and all day long, that line was going through my head. I swear there ain't no heaven. I pray there ain't no hell. Won't know by living. Only my dying will tell. And I thought, Lord, I don't want that going in my head because I know that's not of you. And so I just decided that day, Lord, I'm not going to listen to any music except music about you. And that was back in 1984. That was a long time ago, guys. And so if there's a song, a popular song from past 1984 on the radio, I probably don't know it. It's kind of weird, except when my girls became teenagers and they started listening to Taylor Swift. I know a lot of Taylor Swift songs. And I know some of the songs that they listen to, you know. And sometimes Steve in the car will listen to the oldie station. And, of course, I know all those songs. And so I'll listen to that. And Paul and I have sung at different things, and we've sung different songs. But mostly, I know Christian music from 1984. So I know a lot of songs that people have never heard of. And so, long story to say this, I made a playlist of all those songs. And for 2.5 hours, about 2 hours probably, driving up to the mountains, I sang with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul at the top of my lungs. And by the time we got to the mountains, I was thirsty, but I was also satisfied because I had had the most incredible worship experience just being around and listening to songs that people that were thirsty wrote. You know what I'm saying? And so if you aren't thirsty, and I get it because sometimes I'm not thirsty. Sometimes I'm dead. Sometimes I'm complacent. Sometimes I'm apathetic. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. Sometimes I'm like, God, I tried and tried and tried. I can't do it anymore. I know all those feelings. I mean, I was thinking this morning that we think that there are some people that got this Christianity thing figured out. And they are just walking and it's easy. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. I'm not up here because I do Christianity. I follow Jesus better than you do. We are all, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we are all daily fighting this battle. We are all suffering. We are all confused at times. We all have fightings without and fears within, as the Apostle Paul. I mean, one night this week, I laid in the bed, and I don't know if y'all get these compulsive, anxious thoughts, but I laid in the bed. I could not go to sleep because it was just bombarding my mind, whether it's from the devil or it's just genetic. I don't even know. But I know what it's like to spend a whole night terrified, and you don't even know why. And the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on the God who raises the dead. And that's where all that should lead us to. Not to give up, not to quit, not to say, I can't do this anymore. It's easy for other people. It's not easy for me. Y'all, we are all fighting the fight. And the question is this morning, are you thirsty? Because Jesus says, if you are thirsty, you will be filled. So anyone who is thirsty, so we got to try to stay thirsty. Put yourself around salty people. I'm sure y'all can think of other things that are salt to you where this is concerned, but that was just one thing. And I know I'm all over the board this morning. Y'all forgive me for that. But Jesus says, not only can anyone who is thirsty come, he also tells us exactly who we have to come to. This is another thing I thought. He says, come to me. He said, anyone who is thirsty, come to me. And that sounds like, well, you know, duh. But I think it's easy to get messed up here. I think this is where we specifically get lost. We're like, well, Jesus says anyone who is thirsty can come to him and find living water, rivers of living water. But it just didn't happen for me. It's just not working for me the way it seems to be working for you. And I got to thinking, you know what? Maybe it's because we're not really coming to Jesus. To come to Jesus means you come to the living God with your faith. Do you hear what I'm saying? When I think about why some people are struggling so much, it's because they're coming to somebody else's faith. They're coming to somebody else. They're listening to somebody else. And they're never getting into that place where it's just them and Jesus alone. And Jesus says, anyone who is thirsty has to come to me. I can't go to Jesus for you, and you can't go to Jesus for me. So are you going to Jesus? Are you coming to Jesus, to the living God? Do you believe that Jesus is the living God who alone can help you, who alone can fill you? It's him and you. It's not you and 3 Point and somebody else. It's you and Jesus. He's the only one, and he's real. He's the living God, and we have to come to him. You know, we listen to Christian music. We hang out with people that know and love Jesus. We have good feelings of fellowship and camaraderie. We listen to great sermons on the radio or YouTube. We watch them on the TV. We are inundated with stuff about Jesus. But are we ourselves coming to Jesus? Because he is where the living water is. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Do you get alone with just you and your faith and come to Jesus and listen to his word for you? Do you have a personal relationship with him to where if there was nobody else in the world, there was no sermon being preached, there was no church to go to, it'd be okay because you know Jesus? Those other things can be good and they can bless us, but they are not a substitute for that personal relationship with Jesus. And we know we can't give the excuse, well, that works for you, but it doesn't work for me, because Jesus said, anyone, anyone. No one can come to Jesus for us. We have to come to him for ourselves. And you can. Anyone who is thirsty, because Jesus said so. But Jesus also added that anyone who is thirsty can come to him, but they have to do one more thing when they get here. They have to drink. We've all heard the proverb, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, that's true, isn't it? And you can lead somebody to Jesus, but you can't make him drink. No one can drink for us. No one can make us drink. We have to do the drinking of the water that Jesus offers. So I was thinking, well, what does that look like? What does that look like to drink? And I thought that these red letter words sound very similar to Isaiah 55. He says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Again, it seems to be the same thing that almost all of these red letter word sermons have concluded, that life is found in listening to and obeying God's words. I just love that. His thoughts are nothing like our thoughts. Do you ever just think about that, meditate on that? Because we get all caught up in our thoughts, don't we? We get all overwhelmed with our thoughts. We get all impressed by our thoughts. We live by our thoughts. We think about it, and then we make decisions. And God says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. They're nothing like your thoughts. To drink from Jesus means that we take in his words and we live by them. As Jesus says in John chapter 6, my words are spirit and they are life. The flesh profits nothing. You know, God often refers to himself as the fountain of living water. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, he says, for my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. And then in Jeremiah 17, 13, it says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who turn away from you will be disgraced. They will be buried in the dust of the earth, for they have abandoned the Lord, the fountain of living water. So I just want to ask you this morning, are you thirsty? Do you need that river of living water that Jesus offers? Because it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or how long you've been doing it. Jesus says, anyone who is thirsty can come to me. And so, are you ready to come to Jesus? Maybe you've been living on someone else's faith. And Jesus says, you don't have to do that. In fact, you can't do that. You are the one that he wants and the one he accepts. The only qualification is that you need to be thirsty and you need to come to him. Not to a church, to a song, to a sermon, to a person. It's just all about Jesus because he is the living God. He is the one that will answer your prayers. He is the one that hears the cries of your heart. You bring your faith. You believe his word and his promises for you. And you drink. And you choose today to go his way. It won't bring you a life of ease. In fact, Jesus says it's a hard road. It won't solve all your problems. but he promises to be with us. In fact, I've decided, I was telling him in the office this morning, that life is just one battle after another. You think you got something beat, and the next time you turn around, there's something else. It's everybody's life. Jesus won't do away with that trouble, but he will be with you, and he will give you the power, the Holy Spirit, that living water that you need to quench that thirst. And we don't just do this once. We don't just come once and drink. We come and we keep coming, and we drink and we keep drinking. So I want to open the altar this morning for anybody that wants to say, Jesus, I come to you. I come to you this morning. I can't do anything for you. Paul can't do anything for you. Jason can't do anything for you. This church can't do anything for you, but Jesus can. And so I challenge you this morning, where you are, or come down here and just say, Jesus, I come to you. I'm thirsty. And if I'm not thirsty, Jesus, make me thirsty. Ask him. He'll make you thirsty. Lay it all out on the line. Say, I'm laying it all out on the line. I'm believing your promise for me this morning. I invite you to come and ask him for whatever you need to come and drink. Amen.